This is Golf Shots with Steve. Let's do it.
Wow, so he's playing well then. That's cool.
Yeah, he's been playing a lot better. He's putting a lot of time into it. He likes it.
Nice. I haven't seen him in a while. I'll have to catch up with him at some point. Well, we're rolling, man. I just hit it. I've kind of stopped doing intros. I'll kind of write an intro for you, and then people will read about that. But hanging with Jason Leaders here, where I'm super big on in-person podcasts. I've done all of them in person. I refuse to do these things over Zoom, although that would make this a lot easier. But that's kind of the biggest challenge of these things is lining up schedules. And you and I have been trying to hook up.
Months,
this is like the 15th episode I've done, and you were one of the first people that I reached out to, and I'm like, hey, I think I want to do this podcast thing. And then I can't even remember how it all happened. I got COVID, maybe you were on a trip, you were in Hawaii, I was in Florida,
all kinds of stuff going everywhere.
Yeah, so it's kind of a crazy year. So I'm excited that we finally get a chance to sit down here, and I'm actually out here at Pacific Golf and Turf where Jason works. What's your title out here?
I am a sales rep for fleet and commercial, and then I'm a sales lead for the retail team.
So I
actually just got promoted to that a month ago.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I haven't been out here before. Jason just gave me a quick little tour, and it's really cool. There's certain things that I love. I love sneakers. I love golf. I love watches. I love golf carts. So I got a chance to see all the golf carts in the shop here. I have a golf cart, and I'm always checking out golf carts and looking around at them. So what's going on new with golf carts? I played with a guy not too long ago who was telling me that now everything's kind of switching to lithium, right?
There's a lot of
lithium stuff going on.
So lithium is the newest technology, I guess. EasyGo has been doing it for 6 years, though. So, I mean, they've been doing it for quite a while. We had Samsung build our battery packs for us, which was probably the best decision I think any golf cart manufacturer could have made, was to get somebody who knows what they're doing to build the battery.
Yeah.
And we signed an exclusive agreement with them. So they actually just re-upped it, I think, for 10 more years. So we're going to be the only one Samsung's building batteries for. Club car kind of got into it last year, had some issues. This year, I've heard it's gotten a lot better. And Yamaha is just starting to roll into the lithium world. So it's really, really good for fleets. It's great for golf courses. The advantages of them, because they're about almost 300 pounds lighter per golf cart.
Really?
So you're 300 pounds less turf wear from all the carts running around your golf course all day. The charge time is about half of what lead acid is. So you're saving about 4 hours of electricity charging 70 golf carts every single night. Hmm. It adds up in a hurry.
Yeah, it does.
There's no maintenance, so you don't need to have somebody on your staff that checks the water levels, cleans off corrosion, does anything with the batteries, because they're completely maintenance free.
That's huge too, because like every couple of months I'm like, oh no, I forgot that one.
It's amazing. It really affects the life of those lead acid batteries if you let it go.
Yeah,
so
I've already got a problem. I'm like, oh man, I forgot again. Yeah, I'm excited for that to not be a thing anymore.
Yeah, it's nice. You know, there's still lead acid is still, I mean, they still a great cart, still good powertrain. They utilize the same motor, same controller and everything. So a lot of people are getting a misconception that lithium is like a faster cart or a more powerful cart, and it really doesn't make any difference. It has the same motor, and the runtime maybe a little bit more, but what lithium does is it runs full bore until it's done, and then it's done. Where lead acid, as you're getting down to like 10%, you start slowing down,
yeah,
until it actually dies.
Yeah.
So I guess in that sense, you get a little bit more runtime out of it because you don't have to deal with the slowdown period, but they're both about 20 to 25 mile range on a full charge. So
that's pretty good.
Just depending on the golf course.
What's the lifetime on a lithium battery?
About 10. Samsung tells us 10 to 12 years.
Oh, that'd be nice too, huh? Yeah. Yeah, because the other ones
lead acid is about 5 to 6, right around there.
Is anyone making gas carts anymore?
Yeah,
I had a gas cart.
They're still pretty popular.
They are.
Yeah. Well, so going forward this year, EasyGo stopped making lead acid for fleets, so they only make a lithium option. If you wanted to buy a new cart starting in 2022 and beyond, it's either lithium or gas. And then 2023, it's going to be retail only. Or retail is going to be lithium only as well. They're going to get rid of lead acid in that as well.
Oh, that's out, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Huh. Have they talked at all about, like, this is probably a dumb question. Like solar, I'm super interested in solar. Like, why do they put some solar panels on the roof?
I've definitely had some people talking about it, and I've had a couple engineers in here who bought golf carts and said they were going to put a solar panel on the roof and rewire it.
Yeah.
But more for kind of just charging it instead of powering it. So they're going to basically use the solar panels as a charger for their golf cart so that throughout their play, they're really not losing battery length or life. So a little bit different than actually running the cart off the solar panel. But
which really it would be kind of cool, but it's probably not necessary because a full charge on a lithium battery is probably going to last you like, unless you're playing like 200 holes a day.
Yeah, I mean, they last so about 20, 25 miles. And you figure an average golf course is probably 5 to 6.
Yeah.
Around. I mean, unless you're playing Circle and Raven, that's, you know, 8 miles because it's so far from green to tee, places like that. But it's usually about 5 to 6 miles for a golf course.
So it's a little unnecessary.
You can get
really
about 4 or 5.
But it's cool, though.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, it's less electricity you got to use at home, right? You keep charging it while you're out on the course.
Exactly. So. Any penny I can save.
Yeah. I mean, especially the world's going that direction.
Yeah.
But Guess still has its, it has a lot of applications still. I mean, you look at courses like Indian Canyon and they don't have storage for golf carts. So you can't really keep a charger and electricity outside
elements
and stuff. So the gas still definitely is going to have its place for quite a while.
I didn't even think of that kind of stuff.
That's really the number one reason why I would push somebody to gas is if they don't have someplace to keep it and charge it.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, with the AC motors nowadays, like you just, the electric carts are just as good, if not better, than anything gas is.
I had one of those gas, I don't even know what it was. It was an old beat up gas cart. And you'd like push on the gas pedal and it wouldn't go anywhere. It'd just go blah, 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 blah. And then it'd go. When you take off,
they make some good noises.
Yeah.
All the fuel, and now they're all fuel injected too. So there's no more choke to pull. And they've I mean, nowadays they're like a car. I have a couple brand new ones in the back. That, I mean, yeah, you just get in and hit the gas and go.
Yeah.
And I mean, you'll never hear, never does that. Never, it doesn't have a carburetor to get dirty. It has a closed loop. So, like, no dust and everything from a golf course gets into it. It's pretty crazy.
That's way better.
Yeah, it's amazing. They've come a long way in both electric and gas in the last probably 10 years at least.
And you guys are moving a lot of golf carts around here. They're flying out the door.
Let's see, March, 26 golf carts I've sold
26?
This month.
26?
Yeah.
Sounds good enough to win some sort of an award. You happen to be the salesman of the
I won sales rep of the year for last year for 2021
for Pacific Golf and Turf.
Yep.
Nice.
So
well, congratulations on that. Yeah,
it's nice when getting recognized when you put the work in. So
yeah,
it's definitely fun.
Yeah, good for
it's
you.
A cool job that I never thought I would ever be in, that's for sure. So.
yeah it's like a whole nother side of it. So so a little backstory. Jason and I know each other. I was the golf sales manager at the Coeur d'Alene Resort when you were at Circling Raven as the assistant golf pro down there. So we go way back. You worked at the resort for a little while too, and
Years.
You were the tournament director for the local chapter for a while. So, you and I have gone back for quite a while now. So it's fun to sit down with you and talk about golf. But what other stuff's going on with these golf carts? Like, are you putting speakers on these things now?
Yeah,
that's an option.
There's a bunch of Bluetooth options. The most popular one we've got going is called a Bazooka Party Bar. It's like got 8 speakers in this big. Basically a canister, I'll call it. It's just a big round bar, and it's got 8 speakers and LED lights everywhere that you can change the colors. You can set it on. It's got an app on your phone, so you can set it to play to whatever music you're playing. So like, it'll strobe to the bass of the song, and that's crazy, man. They make LED strips the same way. You can run underneath the whole length of the car or anywhere that do the same thing, or all controlled from your phone. You can just. Say I want it blue today. I want
it yellow
yesterday.
Oh, this is gonna get crazy.
You drive around some of these places, like, well, are you in Liberty Lake? Is that what you said you have a cart?
Yeah, I'm out in Twin Lakes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So I mean, like, you drive around Liberty Lake at night in the summer, and I mean, you just see lights and music, and I mean, it's craziness.
I can't wait. Like, some of these old timers are gonna be like, nah, this is not golf. You know?
Yeah,
it's cool. Everybody's having fun with it.
They still are, but man, I think the golf world has made that turn about 5 years ago. You start looking at some of the private clubs around here and stuff, and look at the membership and how different it is. Like, you're just starting to get that newer young money that wants to have the fun. They want to have the speakers. They want the beverage cart following them around. They want the fun tournaments. They want the crowds to follow them during horse races. I mean, it's kind of the direction I see golf going. It's getting that younger kind of, I don't want to say rowdy because it makes it sound bad, but
yeah,
hey. more energetic, I guess. Proud, yeah. I don't know, but yeah, it's definitely the golf game and industry. Everything has changed a lot in the last 5 years, 10 years. I mean, it's crazy.
Oh, did you watch that Sawgrass tournament this year? Those two hole in ones.
That, I don't know. Personally, I still have a little bit of me. I guess that's the old guard that I thought that was a little bit over the top. But I mean, I can't even imagine what that atmosphere has got to be like if you make for the players. Like, that's just got to be insane.
And I've heard some of them say, like, gosh, I wouldn't want this. I wouldn't want it to be like this every week, but true, 1 week a year, this is a lot of fun. But I mean, those two hole in ones were bonkers. It was like, I actually saw. Sunday, I think there was the second one was on Sunday, and I saw like a clip of it and went, oh, they're playing that from yesterday. And then it was like, wait a minute, that's a different guy.
I mean, I don't know if they've ever had two in one weekend before.
Yeah, that was crazy. That was nice. Even a different, I watched the ball and I'm like, wait, the other one kind of spun right to left and went in, and this one went straight in. It was crazy.
Then you think back to when Tiger made his, and without the stands and everything there, and it was probably, I would bet the loudness was probably still just as loud as when those guys
crazy
did
too. Yeah, that looked nuts. Can you imagine somebody threw a water bottle like that at the Masters? It'd be crazy. Like, get kicked out so fast.
Whoever's ticket they had would never see the grounds again.
The Masters does not mess around. No. So I guess each venue is just going to start setting their own standards.
And if it stays like that with one event, I mean, I'm all for it. It's fun. I mean, I've seen so many people get into the game of golf because of going to that event.
Yeah.
Like, they went down there and never played, never did anything, and came back and were like, man, this is fun. I want to play golf. So if that's what it does, if it brings more people to the game, then I'll take it a week.
Yeah, it could be a good thing. I still haven't done it. I'm going to Vegas in a few weeks, and we're going to book Topgolf, which I've still not done. But I've heard people who don't even play golf that are like, that's a blast. They love it. So
my Topgolf is, I think, another thing that's brought a ton of people to the game.
Yeah.
We've done the one in Vegas a couple times. And, like, my wife, I don't know if she plays nine holes a year. It's probably a lot. But she loved it there. I mean, she had fun. Because you don't have to be good. I mean, you don't really have to. Halftime, you can honestly bounce the ball off and it'll roll into something. So, I mean, it's just fun.
It's more like a video game.
You make a swing and you start seeing points accumulating. I mean, I think I think my wife beat my dad and my stepmother when we were there the first time. Like, and me, my dad, and her all play golf, and my wife really doesn't. And I'm pretty sure she beat us in the first points game. So, I mean, it's a blast.
Yeah.
Well, you have success like that. Who doesn't want to take it to the course and start learning the game? So.
Yeah, I mean, we've been working on, you know, when I was the golf sales manager at the resort, it was like, gosh, golf was struggling. We had some years there. It was like, okay, how do we bring people into the game? And they kept talking about, okay, maybe we promote nine holes, or maybe we promote six holes, or maybe we make bigger cups. So there were all these different ideas. And it turns out all you had to do is make it more fun.
Right.
Like, start adding some lights to the carts, and music has been huge. I rarely play in a foursome anymore where there's not somebody who's got music on. Usually it's me, but
yeah.
Sometimes, you know, it seems like you don't play very often without some sort of music.
No. Yeah, I can't remember the last time I played without somebody playing music.
Yeah.
Probably a section event.
Yeah.
I don't even know. I think they even allow that now.
Oh, they do?
Maybe not. Oh, it was definitely on a topic of discussion for the board for a while, whether maybe not in the majors or like the championships, but some of the section pro-ams and more of the group type events, whether or not you could in practice rounds listen to them. And I thought they passed it, but I don't remember. Exactly.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. I wouldn't do it if there's like money on it, you know,
right.
Like,
I do
member guest at Twin Lakes. It's like, all right, maybe, you know,
even those events nowadays, I mean, they're crazy. You see
with the right guys.
You interviewed Gordon, right?
Yeah.
For this?
Yep.
I mean, you see what Manitou's like now and what he does for his member guests and stuff.
He's making it fun out there.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's got such a cool atmosphere when you walk into that place.
It's awesome.
Like, I walked in and a guy I know who I haven't seen in years was in there, and he's like, Steve? And we start talking. He's telling me about how they go play ping pong all the time. And, you know, he's like, it's so much fun around here. And they got the simulator going. And
they got that new building going up, and is it even open yet? Were you there?
Yeah, I don't think it's not
stuff?
Yeah, it's not open yet. They were still kind of set up in the shop, but then you got Gordo out there barbecuing. Like, what a cool atmosphere.
Yeah,
you know?
that's what it needs for people to start turning the tide.
Yeah,
I mean, you need those pros that are willing to put the time in and do something different, try different things.
Yeah, I just picture like someday there's gonna be like a live band playing in the middle of the court, you know, like at some central location. And
wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, because I think we're all starting to realize it doesn't necessarily need to be like super quiet when you're hitting a golf ball. You know, I saw a comedian once talking about, you know, baseball players. The ball's coming at him 100 miles an hour, and everybody's screaming at the top of their lungs, and they got to hit this ball. He's like, but a golf ball just sitting there, and everybody has to be quiet. It doesn't make any sense. I'm like, yeah, that's true. I don't mind even if someone's talking when I'm swinging, but I prefer that they keep talking. Like, if they talk, and then I'm, like, swinging, and they stop talking, that messed me up more than anything.
For sure. Any change in the whatever's going on, whether it's quiet and then suddenly gets loud in the middle of your swing or the other way around.
If you're going to, like, walk towards me while I'm hitting, just keep walking.
It's still weird that that's distracting, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird. I mean, a swing takes however long to make. I mean, half a second. I don't know how long an actual swing takes to make, but in that amount of time, a noise can change you that much. Like,
it probably does.
It's crazy.
Right. It's a good excuse. Golfers are all about excuses. For it's sure. Like, what can I blame this on? You know, it's the wind or my club or you were talking.
Something happened for sure. It wasn't my fault. That's for sure.
Yeah, something bad out there. I'm excited. I think golf's heading in a good direction. It's nice to see these tee sheets filling up, although I don't like having to try so hard to get on on courses, but it's good to see everybody out there and playing.
For sure. I mean, just about every pro I talked to in 2020 and 2021 was breaking either merchandise sales records, rounds records, overall revenue records. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously COVID had a lot to do with that because they're stopping you from going everywhere inside, but you could still go play golf. So
yeah,
let's go play golf.
I feel like we're already to a place where we can laugh about some of the stuff we did during COVID. Like the pool noodle thing in the cup. We gotta admit, like, I think even Dr. Fauci would be like, that was kind of funny, like
the plexiglass between the seats in order to ride two to a cart.
That was a great one. Like you drive in the car all the way there together, and then you gotta sit with glass between you. There was some funny stuff where, like, no more rakes, like, don't touch the rakes.
Yeah, that was the problem. That's where we were all getting it from. Yeah.
And I'm not saying there's anything funny about COVID, but there were some funny, like, overreactions. Like, I saw Jim Gaffigan talking about when we were, like, wiping down our UPS boxes the first month. It was like, you wipe it down.
It was, I'll tell you what, though, it actually led to some golf cart sales too, when a lot of the places the first year in 2020 were making you ride one person to a cart.
Oh, I bet. Yeah.
So people are like, well, if I'm going to have to pay for my own cart or ride by myself anyways, I might as well just buy my own. So,
oh, that makes sense.
It was kind of started, honestly. I think it started this whole, I mean, I know golf carts aren't the only production issue things in the country now, but I do think that demand of people, more people playing, more people having to ride by themselves, rates, a lot of places were going up because revenue was so much, and tee times are booked, and so they were just buying their own carts, and it just, nobody was ready for it. And then all the production from parts going everywhere else just pushed everything into a little bit of a chaotic world. But
crazy time. We're through it though, right? It's all over.
Yeah, well
hopefully. Yeah, I shouldn't say that. Knock on this desk.
It feels like we are though, which is good.
Yeah, it's looking good. At least get back to traveling. I'm trying to book some golf trips, and I've been looking at Ireland a lot. Are you big into like golf travel?
I do love going to play.
Yeah,
getting out of town, going to play some golf.
What's your list? What are your favorite Northwest courses?
Circling Raven is probably still one of my best, honestly, countrywide.
Mm-hmm.
CDA National Reserve now, the old Rock Creek.
Mm-hmm. Is that what they're calling it? CDA National? Okay.
They just changed the name.
That is. I've only played there once, so that's a good one.
Yeah, it's an awesome golf course. I love that layout. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah. Why'd they change the name? Do you know?
New owner.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Huh. Interesting.
But yeah, that was always one of my favorite places. So they're doing a lot to that place. So they put a whole new, they're putting a new clubhouse in. They're starting to build a lot of the cottages around the course for people, for members. Sweet. And so I think it's going to be a very different place, but from what I've heard anyways.
Yeah.
I mean, we were so blessed in this area though. I mean, I grew up in New York, and we had a couple decent Muni courses, but you know, most of them were your typical nine hole, just straight back, straight forward. It was either that or private golf courses, which, you know, I wasn't a rich kid, that's for sure. So
tough options.
I wasn't playing in those courses. But I mean, out here, I mean, our city and county courses, I mean, they're great golf courses.
Yeah.
From all, you know, Qualchin, Hangman, Meadowood, Indian Canyon. Indian Canyon's a fabulous golf. It's amazing.
I haven't played there in like 4 or 5 years. This is like
such a great golf course.
Why? I love that course too. I just haven't made it there.
City and county. I mean, anybody can just go play.
Yeah,
it's great.
I know. I'm gonna get over and play more Spokane courses this year. This is the year that I'm gonna come over. I'm gonna go over the border. I'm over the border right now. This is a big deal for me to go into Washington.
You know, it's funny. I moved to Post Falls and going into Coeur d'Alene now. I was like, man, do I really have to go into town?
Yeah. And I live in Rathdrum. I always talk about Coeur d'Alene as the big city.
Right.
I'm not going to that big city today.
It is crazy how it feels that way.
Yeah. So I just booked on Father's Day. I booked around it with a friend of mine. We're going to go play Torrey Pines.
Nice.
South. We're going to play the South course. And we're going to fly down the day before and then play and then fly back, like super quick trip. But then I told my wife, I said, I'm just getting you ready because the next one is Bethpage Black.
Yeah. I played there.
Maybe you played it.
Yeah.
It's
amazing.
Is it as hard as it sounds?
It's every bit as hard as it sounds.
I know. That sign that says, like, this is for
golfers. Play appropriate tees. Don't think you're bigger than you are.
Yeah.
And it'll be a fun day. But it's still, I don't know, still not easy
golf
course.
It's going to kill me. I'm like a 13 handicap that sprays it all over. I'm sure I'm going to spend a lot of time in that thick rough.
Yeah, I don't know how often they keep it that height. I mean, when I played it, it was like, I want to say May after the first U.S. Open was there.
Yeah.
So it was almost a year after the Open. It's still thick, that's for sure, but it's definitely not the height that they grew up for the U.S. Open.
Are the fairways as narrow as they keep them
for
the
Open?
Yeah,
well, they probably open them up a little bit more, but it's still pretty narrow. it's to me, and that's going back to the Northwest again, it's like the Idaho Club to me. The hardest, I mean, that's one of the hardest golf courses I've ever played in my entire life.
Super fun, but man, it's hard.
There's just no relief area.
Yeah.
The tee shots are really hard. If you don't get them in play, I mean, you're basically looking to bogey or better.
Yeah.
Your approach shot, if you miss the green, you really miss the green because they're all like buried Volkswagens. And then getting up and down is brutal. The greens are ridiculously hard to putt on. So it's like there's no area where you can kind of just go, I had a good shot. Yeah. Let's relax.
Yeah, you're like,
'cause now you're looking at double. It's crazy.
Yeah, that is a tough course, but man, it's a good time though. And I'm looking forward to Bethpage.
Yeah.
I got to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a great place.
Torrey's been on my list for a long time. Well, it came up because I went to Orlando. We were talking about Orlando before we started recording, and when I was down there in November, I'm like, I want to go play Sawgrass, and I looked at tee times, and it was $725, and I'm like,
it's that much
what?
Now?
Yeah, and I heard during the Players this year, I heard him say it was 800, like you could get in the 800s, like. 725, I guess, was a deal. I don't know. Like, you gotta be kidding me. That's more than Pebble. That's way up there.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah. And so.
I did not think it was that expensive to play.
I know. I was blown away. I was thinking like 500, and even then, I would probably not do it. But maybe someday.
Yeah, someday.
It'd be cool.
Some of those things, it's just you just got to drop it and just go say you did it. But
like Torrey is 265, which is a lot of money, but. For a U.S. Open course, I mean, the U.S. Open there last year, you know, and it's got a ton of history.
Golf course in the whole country.
Yeah,
so.
That's actually pretty cheap, and like locals pay like $80.
Yeah,
I'm going. How do you not play it all the time if you're local?
Right,
I play it like once a month.
Well, that's like Hawaii. It was just we were talking again before recording. I went over there to see Mark and his course, Kapalua. You get 75% off the greens fee if you're a Hawaii resident.
Wow.
So it's like, I mean, they're paying like nothing to play a course that people are literally flying over there to play.
They got to be pushing 500 now. Did you look?
I don't know how much the Plantation course was.
I feel like I was there because I was there probably 4 or 5 years ago, and I want to say it was like three. I feel like it was like mid threes.
I know the Bake course that Mark is the head pro at was like 275, I want to say, right around there.
Oh, okay.
So, and I know the Plantation's more because that's where the tour event is and stuff like that. So I know it's more expensive, but I don't know what it was. But yeah, they got 75% off their greens fee if you're a Hawaii resident. Like, It's crazy to think that. Like, they're probably paying as much as we pay to go play Meadowood, and they're playing Kapalua on the ocean. Yeah,
like, they just take it for granted. They're like, oh, I guess I'll go play Kapalua. Right? So we're talking Mark Nelson here. It was episode 2 of the podcast here. One of our favorite guys in the world. Jason just went down and got to see him. So shout out to Mark Nelson over there in Hawaii. Last time I was texting him, I guess this was like when he got the position. So it was probably October. And I said, send me some pictures so I can be jealous. And he sent them. And I was like, yeah, I'm jealous. Like, yeah. It looks so nice.
It is beautiful.
He's got a big smile on his face when you saw him.
Yeah, for sure. he's doing good over there.
Yeah.
Loving it.
Yeah,
loving
life. Happy for him. That's cool.
Kind of hard not to love him being in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a culture shock, I'm sure. Different, and costs are through the roof.
But, I'm sure, yeah.
It'd be pretty hard to wake up every morning and look at what you're looking at and be sad.
Head golf pro in Hawaii.
Yep.
Just sounds nice.
It does. It does.
Like, it's like a good deal.
Just a good title to have. He certainly deserved it, that's for sure. He put in the time, the effort, and he's a hell of a golf pro. So
yeah, he's a great guy. So golf cart question for you. What's the craziest golf cart story that you have? Do you have any, like, people smashing up golf cart stories? Do people, like, trade in golf carts here?
Yeah, we
take
trades.
Do you end up with some of them? Yep. Do you get any that are all smashed up?
Not really.
Yeah.
Usually people are trading. It's just kind of like a car. They're trading in what they have or their old used one to get something nicer. But we did have, and thankfully everybody was okay, but we did sell a Cushman Hauler 4x4. So kind of like a utility vehicle, like with the cargo bed and stuff. It kind of like more like a side-by-side, but not fast like that.
Yeah.
And this guy's 16-year-old daughter was driving and got T-boned.
Oh.
And they brought it back here to see if there's anything we could do to it. And, like, we drove it down on a trailer, and all of us just looked at each other and, like, what does he expect us to do with this? Like, the thing was, like, bent in a V. Like, the other side that got hit, everything was, like, the wheel, everything was broke up underneath. Like, it had hit with that much pressure. It was, like, thank God she was okay.
Because
you look at that thing, you would not think that somebody was okay.
Oh, that's terrifying.
But, so, yeah, it was... They're not made for collisions with cars, that's for sure.
Yeah, really.
we've had a couple of the kids, you know, my kid drove it into my side of my house, or my kid drove it into my garage, or things like that. But nothing, I still think some of the craziest stuff ever was, you know, Circling Raven pretty well.
Yeah.
The bridge on 8, where you go from the T.
Uh-huh.
The amount of people who drove off that bridge and haven't gotten hurt.
Oh, really?
And, like, scrambles and shotgun events that we do, like charity stuff that we did down there. I mean, I bet you know at least 5 people that drove off that bridge, and none of them got hurt. I don't know how
terrifying.
It's possible.
That's a pretty good drop.
That's got to be at least 10 foot.
Down into like...
That. Yeah, like nasty ground. Yeah. I wouldn't want to even step in that, let alone fall into a golf
like
cart.
Moose country down there.
Yeah, but I still think that's one of the craziest things. I just can't believe that. That many people have driven off that bridge and been okay.
Oh, yeah, because, I mean, you combine alcohol and golf carts, and suddenly, like, crazy stuff happens.
Uh-huh.
Like, I at once almost – I was going over to my ball, and I was going up a hill and didn't realize there was a bunker on the backside of it and stopped, like, right on the edge. But I guarantee people drive into bunkers off the backside.
Actually, I know of a story. And I don't know all the people involved, but I think it was in our section. Somebody actually got killed. They were driving it late at night, not paying attention, and driving the course backwards, and drove. They thought they're in a fairway and drove off the high end of a bunker.
Oh no!
And just nosedived right down in, and I don't remember, but I thought they got very hurt. I know that.
Yeah, that's scary.
Anytime I drive a golf course or cart at night, I am so careful and try and stay on the cart path because it's amazing. The world looks so different to you, even though no matter how well you know a golf course, when it's dark. Things just look a little different, and you forget where that bunker is.
That's freaky. That's scary to think about.
Yeah, so I can imagine what was going through your mind when you came up and stopped just short of that.
Yeah, that was middle of the day. I believe it was at Prairie Falls, actually.
We'll say it was at night, Steve.
Yeah, exactly. I was distracted.
Just going back to that golfers make excuses thing. Yeah, it was at night.
The sun was in my eyes, I'm sure of it. So what's going on with your summer? You're playing some local tournaments. You're doing some of the pro-ams.
Yeah, I'm going to play a couple of pro-ams. Our company just signed on to sponsor the Inland Empire PGA chapter.
Yeah.
So we're going to play in a couple of those events. I'm going to go out to a couple of pro-ams and bring some carts and just kind of say hi to all the guys and hang out a little bit. We're going to play a little bit. And then the one best part about switching to this job, out of being a golf professional, is I actually have time for my family. So
there you go.
We're going to be doing a lot of camping, and we bought a side-by-side this past winter, so we're going to be out riding that around a little bit.
Man, those are fun.
So it'll be fun. I'm very much looking forward to this summer. Yeah. I am so happy it's 60 degrees and sunny right now.
Yeah, it's golf season. It's today, March 29th, and I've played 3 times already.
Have you?
Yeah. Twin Lakes opened on Thursday. I haven't played 18 3 times, but I played 9 holes 2 days, and then I played like 12 holes on Saturday.
Twins open already, huh?
Yeah, Twin open.
They're usually like one of the last courses to open.
Yeah, I think we were this year. I think it's usually us and Stone Ridge are the last ones, but we open Friday morning. It's members only right now, but I think by Friday or Saturday we're going to be open to outside play, so... It's That's time. Awesome. Let's do it.
That is the weirdest place on earth for weather. I don't know why, but Twin Lakes to me, it never got warm. Yeah. Like the snow there, you would be driving up to it and the snow would be gone, and all of a sudden you turn into Twin Lakes and they have 8 inches on the ground. It's like, what did I just drive into? Yeah. I don't understand this.
Oh, we get crushed with snow. I don't know what it is. Like we're on the backside of Mount Spokane. I don't know if it has something to do with the way the clouds move around that thing, but like Rathdrum, we'll get 2 inches of snow and we'll get like a foot. Yeah. You gotta be kidding me.
It was crazy doing like the turn pro-am schedule and stuff when I was doing that job. Like always try to get Twin on there, and it was back when Kathy was working there and stuff, and she's like, well, I can't really do April because I just don't know. Yeah. We might not be open till May.
Mid-July.
It's like, okay, well, we'll keep pushing it back and we'll see. There was one year where they were like April 20th or 15th or something like that, and we were really had our fingers crossed that the event was even going to happen. So,
yeah, I think there was a year where we didn't really open until the first week of May. It was like – it was that 2008, 2009 where we got so much snow. I had to shovel my roof twice. And it's the only time I've ever talked about leaving North Idaho.
Really?
Shovel your roof with snow in February. And I got done. I'm like, and I get sick every time. I'm like, I think we got to move.
I need somewhere warmer.
I think I hate it here.
I will say, when we get mild winters like this one, there's no better place on earth to be than this area.
As good as it gets,
I mean.
This was the winter because the mountains got a ton of snow. Skiing was great. And then it was like just a little bit down here.
Yeah, down here wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. Yeah, which made me look bad because I've been telling all the California neighbors, like, get ready. We get crushed. And then it's like 2 inches. I'm going, all right, well, sorry.
Right, I guess I was wrong this time. One of these years you'll be right, though.
I promise. We won't be playing golf till June. Forget about it. I was like, March. They're calling all their friends in California. Get up here.
Right.
It's a piece of cake.
Come on up. Yeah. Plenty of houses.
Oh, man. Well, Jason, it's always good to see you.
I've been
looking forward to this. Fun to sit down and talk golf with you and talk golf carts. I'm excited that you're doing so great out here. And looking forward to playing some golf with you this summer. So
definitely.
Anyhow, guys, thanks for everybody listening. I think this is episode 15, maybe, of Golf Shots. So we'll keep it going. We'll keep throwing some podcasts out there. Like I've always said, at the end of every episode, I say make sure you like the show or follow it on Spotify or iTunes, wherever you're listening on. Make sure you follow it, because then it just pops up when a new episode goes on there. So we're sticking strong with doing one of these a month, and there's some cool personalities in the Northwest that I still want to get to. I've been reaching out to some of the guys that I know and bugging them a little bit. So if there's somebody really cool that you want me to interview, let me know and I'll start badgering them. So thanks again for listening, guys. Really appreciate the comments, good or bad. Keep them coming. And thanks again to Jason. See you guys soon.
Thanks.